Pray with me. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to study your word, and I pray that your spirit would guide us, help us to block out things that might be bothering us or distracting us, Lord. Help us to just focus on you the next few minutes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 46, where I'm at today. This has some familiar verses in it that you've probably quoted them yourself or said them and wondered maybe where they were at. But they're in Psalm 46. I'm going to tell you that's where they're at. You know, thinking about the Psalms, some of the songs that we sing out of the hymn book, and at times Robert's come up here and he's prefaced the hymn with the background of the hymn. And pretty dramatic things that went on in the songwriter's life that brought him to the point of writing the hymn. And it's the same thing with the Psalms that is in your Bible. Psalm 46 was written when the people of Judah were under siege by Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria. The king had already captured, you know, at this point, the country was divided in the north and the south kingdoms. The north was Israel, and the southern kingdom was Judah. And this king of Assyria had already captured the northern kingdom of Israel, and now he had his eyes on Judah, the southern kingdom of God's people. But the king of Judah at that time, there was a godly man named Hezekiah. The Bible says that Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. One of the few good ones, you might say. After the Assyrians captured their neighbor Israel, they now surrounded Jerusalem, which was the capital of Judah, and began to taunt them. In a nutshell, they told the residents of Jerusalem that everything their king, Hezekiah, was telling them was a lie. And they would be captured just like they had just captured their neighbor Israel. It really sounds like these people were in a tight spot. They were in a tight spot. Have you ever been in a tight spot? Most all of us have, right? If we're living and we've lived for very long at all, we've been in a tight spot. Amid all this, Hezekiah received a message from God through the prophet Isaiah. He was not to be afraid of the Assyrians, God told him, and he was surely not to be afraid of this king, Sennacherib. God would cause Sennacherib to die by the sword. So Hezekiah had a strong word from God to boost his spirits, right? A strong word from the Lord. God was going to take care of him. Don't worry about it, Hezekiah. God is going to take care of you, and God is going to take care of Judah. But wait. Here comes a letter from the Assyrian king, describing all the things that he was going to do to Judah when he got there. It was easy for King Hezekiah to feel defeated after he read this letter. Isn't that how it goes, though? You know, you get a word from the Lord, everything's going to be all right. And then here comes a little bit more bad news that pulls you back down again. That's what happened to Hezekiah. He got this letter from King Sennacherib, and he said, here's all the bad things that I'm going to do to you when I get there. Look out, buddy. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after your people. Well, that kind of tipped Hezekiah off base pretty good. And so what he did was what you and I should do when we get that extra little bit of news that brings us back down again, is that he took that letter and he went into the temple and he spread it out before the Lord and basically said, Lord, here's the letter. You know what it says, and I don't know what to do. I've done that with God I don't know how many times. Something pop up, God, I don't know what to do with this. So Hezekiah asked the Lord to deliver them from the hand of Sennacherib so that all the world would know that God alone is the Lord. In other words, God, glorify yourself by delivering us. On the night the Assyrians were set to attack, God took care of business. God killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one sweep. I'm talking graveyard dead. I ain't talking about they made them pass out. He took care of business. God delivered Judah. And that's why Psalm 46 was written. Consider how this psalm applies to you and me. First, the psalm reminds us that God is your true refuge when you're in a tight spot. Let's look at these first three verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though mountains tremble at its swelling. God is your true refuge when you're in a tight spot. There were strong walls surrounding Jerusalem, but Hezekiah knew that those walls were not quite strong enough. He needed a refuge that he could only get from God. And he discovered that God was the strongest refuge that he had. He's your strongest refuge too, by the way. I hope that you see that God is that strong place of refuge when you have difficulties. Usually when we're faced with difficulties, we start trying to fix things on our own, don't we? We start trying to figure out what we can do. But before Hezekiah thought about planning out a strategy of how he was going to survive the Assyrians, before he did any of that, he went to the Lord. That's a lesson for us, is it not? He went to the Lord first. And he went to the Lord because Hezekiah was a man of God. That's what men and women of God do first. In the face of trouble, they go to God. Go to God. Go directly to the place of refuge. God is our first resort, not our last resort. How many times have you seen on TV where a tornado or some tragedy had happened in a community? And here stands someone in front of their house that's just been demolished. And they just say, well, all we can do now is trust the Lord. All we can do now. Or at the end of a long bit of difficulties, whether it be family trouble or financial or whatever, and they get to the end of the rope, they say, well, I guess we'll just have to trust the Lord now. He's a last resort. Why don't you make him a first resort? You ever thought about that? Why not make him a first resort to go to, the first refuge to go to, and not the last? We can get help from friends and go to the doctor if it's that kind of an issue. And certainly we should make plans, but the first line of defense is always to go to God. God is our refuge and strength, as verse 1 said. And notice, too, it says that God is always present to help us. Notice that verse 1 said, God is a very present help in times of trouble. Not just present, very present. Very present. Has anybody ever told you, maybe a friend or someone, and they said, look, if you need any help, let me know. And you'll respond back, you know, oh, appreciate that. Yeah, I'll let you know. And then they might come back and say, no, I really mean that. I want to help you. That means being very present. God doesn't just want us to know that he's present. He wants us to know that he's very present. I mean, he's there. He is there for us. He's got your back, as we always like to say. Very present. For the one who belongs to God through faith in Christ, there's not a time when God is not present. He's ever present in time of trouble. Amen? If I don't get amen once in a while, I'll just amen myself. And I don't want to amen myself. When you say amen to God, right? He's the one, not me. But God's there. God's there when you're between a rock and a hard place. Verse 3 says, 2 and 3 says that because God is ever present, we will not fear. And it tells several things there, but what it boils down to, we're not going to fear even if our world falls apart. I'm still going to walk with God even if my world goes away, even if my world falls apart. If everything around us were to go away, God is still going to be there. He's not going to move. He's not going anywhere, is he? He's right there with you because he is your refuge. The reason that God's always there through our trouble is because he's not tied to your trouble. God is not affected by your trouble. God's not affected by my trouble. He's not steered one way or the other. God is not tipped off base, or he's not taken by surprise. He's not affected by our troubles or anything that goes on in this world. God is constant. He's constant. Verse 2 said, "We'll not fear even though the earth gives away." Are you hearing me this morning? Is anybody listening this morning? Trying to tell you something about God this morning, amen? You're with me, aren't you? There's a second thing in this passage that we see. God is your strength to help you through your difficulties. Let's look at the scripture again, beginning in verse 4. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." God is your strength to help you through your difficulties. Back in that day, whenever an army wanted to capture a city like Jerusalem, they just encamped all around the outside of the walls, and they would cut off the supply of food and water, and eventually they'd run out. Eventually they'd get desperate. And then once they got in that weakened state, the enemy could swoop in and take over. Well, King Hezekiah had another idea. It's recorded in history that in preparation for this attack from the Assyrians, King Hezekiah built a way for the water of the Gihon Spring to flow into the city of Jerusalem. This tunnel is often referred to as the Tunnel of Siloam or Hezekiah's Tunnel. I don't have time to go into all the details of that, of how this tunnel was built, but it was a constant source of water flowing into the city. And the people were able to hold out for a long time. Because if you got water, you can last a long time, right? Thus, verse 4 of our text says, "There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." Interestingly, in the book of John, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as living water given by God to the believer, which constitutes a secret, powerful resource in times of trouble. When you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, you possess a resource that will hold out when you're under the attack of the enemy, no matter who that is or what that is. With the Holy Spirit, the enemy can camp at your doorstep for a long time and you can hold out because you got the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit's the indwelling source of your life. And since you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you have the presence and power of Jesus in you, right? Jesus. In the story of Hezekiah, it was the angel of the Lord that destroyed all those Assyrian soldiers. You see, the when it's referred to in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord, that's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. You don't think Jesus has got some power? Hey, it was Jesus that went and took care of them soldiers. It was Jesus that took care of Hezekiah, and it's Jesus is going to take care of you, right? And Jesus is going to take care of me. Who is your enemy, by the way? We either have one or we've had one, right? Enemy. Is there anyone here that can bear witness to that? Though the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Like they say, it don't get no better than that, does it? It doesn't get any better than that. Let's look and consider a third point we see in this passage. Remember and reclaim what God has done for you in the past. You know, that always helps, doesn't it? It always helps. When we run into something and we think, oh, gosh, I've never been down this road before. Well, you know what? Somebody else has been down that road. And you've probably been down that road before. And you've already forgot that God took care of you then. He's going to take care of you now, right? Look at verse 8 and 9. It says, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Remember and reclaim what God has done for you in the past. When you find yourself in a tight spot, behold the works of the Lord. Remember what he's done for you, right? God is our refuge. He's our strength. We don't need to forget that. Remember what he's done for you in the past. Remember how he's took care of you in the past. It's not the first time you've been in a tight spot, is it? It's not the first time that you've had your back against the wall. It's not the first time that you've faced difficulties. It seems like the farther along we get in our Christian life, the better we're able to deal with it, though, isn't it? The more mature you become, further down the road you get. I remember back, way back when I was in my 20s. That's been a while ago now. I don't know what happened to the years. You're like that too, aren't you? What happened? It's gone. But I remember one time, I'd really let things eat at me. And I bought this car one time, and it was a lemon. I mean, it turned out to just be junk. And Susie and I couldn't afford too much. We couldn't, you know, and you'd already invested your money in this vehicle, and probably a lot of us has had a bum car or a bum vehicle before. But, man, I lost sleep over that, and I just knew that the car dealer, he didn't want to work with me and all this kind of stuff, and you know, just eat me up. But the older I've got, the more I've been able to handle those things because I remember what God did for me in the past. Remember what God, how you called on God in the past and how he blessed you and delivered you. I can remember times when I prayed about something all night long that was really eating at me, and God delivered in the morning. There's something about saying, just wait till in the morning, right? Look at the morning with fresh eyes and a fresh blessing from the Lord. Remember how he brought you through the hard time. The psalmist, for him, it was God who made the wars cease and to the end of the earth, he said. He destroyed the weapons of the enemy. Can you imagine being one of those people in Jerusalem that morning? And probably they were up all night too. I suspect they were, don't you? never knowing when the enemy we're going to attack. You know it's coming. They're there. They're at the doorstep. Can you imagine the sun coming up and looking over the wall and there's bodies laying everywhere of your enemy that God took out? Listen, that happened. And it happened in a big way. God took care of business, right? God took care of business. As far as the eye could see, God defeated the enemy. That's why the scripture says, behold the works of the Lord, right? Behold the works of the Lord. Don't forget, the same God that took out the Assyrians that night is the very same God that we serve today, right? Same God. No matter what you're going through in comparison, it's the same God that's going to take care of you. He's the same today as He was yesterday. It's what the Bible says. Do you believe that? The same God. He's the same God. And He'll be the same God tomorrow. Having problems, remember what God has done. Remember what God has done. Let me tell you a little personal thing. Last couple of years, where I work, they changed our health insurance. And everybody's thinking it's for the worse. You know how they do. They charge you more money for less. More money for less coverage. So, I'm coming up on this surgery and I'm thinking, gosh, I don't know. I have no clue what this thing's going to cost. And I don't know how much out of pocket, really. Because it's hard to decipher all that, isn't it? And I don't know how much am I going to have to pay and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm kind of going through this process in my mind. And Mary, that works with me, she's my assistant manager. She comes, she says, hey, didn't you take out that critical illness policy a couple years ago? I'd forgotten all about it. You know, you sign up for all these benefits and you don't know half of what you got, but they're sure taking it out of your paycheck all the time for it. So don't forget it. Well, I'd forgotten it. She said, oh. I said, I better sign up for that or make a claim or whatever. She said, no. She printed out information. She says, do it. Well, bless God. That little extra thing paid for everything. I didn't have any out of pocket. As a matter of fact, I came out on the plus side. I'm telling you, you would be amazed if I'm not going to tell you all the details, but I'm going to tell you it was big. Praise the Lord. Remember what God's done for you in the past. Remember what He's done. Now, I don't recommend anybody getting cancer in order to clean up. You know what I mean? I give God the glory for that. God took care of that. God equally took care of me back when I didn't have any insurance. And my 13-year-old daughter had to have surgery. You have to scratch it up from somewhere, but God took care of it. Remember what God did for you in the past. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Now think about that. You've heard that, haven't you? There it is. It's in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I'm God. I'm in charge. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I believe He said that a couple of times in that, don't you? Be still and know that I'm God when you're in a tight spot. If you believe that, stand up.